Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. What a beautiful day the Lord's given us. Isn't God great? Amen. His blessings are just abundantly flowing on us. I tell you, I just want to just tell people how great God is all the time. I know y'all do too. I'm going to ask you if you can stand this evening. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I want to welcome everybody watching online. Welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Ask you just to join us as we worship and praise the Lord, and also as we prepare to hear His message tonight. Praise God. I've got a big list we can add to it. Spoken prayer request tonight. So does anybody on my right side have a spoken prayer request you'd like to add to it? Or maybe one that's already on here. Speak it if it's ready. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request? We got them all. Well, y'all bear with me as I go through these, and I don't want to stumble over any. And remember, this is not all. I know there are many more, but this is just a list that's been brought to us, just a lot of them just recently, like in the last hour or two. But first of all, we just want to pray for the state of Florida. And when I say the state, what I was looking at before we left the house of the storm, it's spreading on both sides of the state already, and as it gets ready to go up the East Coast and all up the coast as it gets ready. You know, we just ask for protection of those. I was listening a little bit on the news, and they were saying how many people were buckling down and wanting to ride it out. And I just pray for those. Most of all, I haven't always made the right choices and decisions, and I thank God for carrying me and protecting me. And I'm not judging them. I'm just saying, I just know these storms are a lot worse than they are. And we, just, especially for the senior, the elderly, those generators to run in these nursing homes, assisted living. I know they moved them a lot to shelter, but the ones that are on oxygen and all the others, so many things I could say, but just God to be with them. And also for the first responders, I know there were already being water rescues made this evening, and I heard them say, like, all the linemen, the power people, everybody that'll be involved, and just for God just to be with each of them. We know He will. Just praise the Lord. Want to pray for, ask for prayer for Brother Chris. I understand he's on his way to the emergency room with, I may not have the, Excuse me. Thank you. Sister Jennifer, gone back to the ER. I want to remember her, and she's gone through some things here recently. Brother James Nolan got his hip replacement. Lord, to keep him. I know he was nervous enough as I talked to him about, but he knows God's got it. We know that we're going to stand in prayer and agreeing with him. Brother Philip Priest, still in the hospital, for God to touch them. Sister Melissa's son, Greg, we saw where he was struck by a vehicle. They were taking him to Grady, so we continue to keep that in your prayer. Brother Thomas's cousin, Randy, and Chris. Oh, okay. Absolutely. And that's just the ones that were given to me just here in the last 5 minutes. So if there are other prayer requests, just show by the raising of your hand. There are those going through procedures, those waiting on results from tests. We also want to pray for our children and young ones. Again, as this storm comes in, they're shifting schedules at schools with activities and all the different things that's going on. So we just thank God for His love, and that we can go to Him. It's just an honor to be able to lift up and just to place all our burdens on Him. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love and praise You. Lord, we thank You again for this day, for this opportunity You've given us, dear Lord, just to come to Your house and in Your mighty name, dear Lord. May we gather together and be in one mind and one accord tonight. Dear Lord, we do lift You up and honor You in everything that we do. Lord, as we humbly come to You in these prayer requests, dear Lord, for those names that are mentioned, those aren't mentioned. Dear Lord, You know the spoken and the unspoken. Dear Lord, You know each and every situation. Dear Lord, as we prepare for each and every day, Lord, may we wake up each morning and know each hour that You are our God and that You are our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can call on You. Lord, we need You to heal. Lord, we need You to touch and protect. Dear Lord, as we pray for the state of Florida, as I mentioned earlier, dear Lord, for all those, dear Lord, first responders, dear Lord, for all those doctors and nurses, for all those that are involved. But dear Lord, be with them, dear Lord. Keep them safe. Even those that are evacuating, dear Lord, as they should, keep them safe on the highways. Keep them safe as they're looking for a place to spend the night or their journey. Lord, may they find that peace that only You can provide. Lord, we just love and praise you. We thank you for our church. Lord, I lift up our teen class to you, the young people downstairs in their Bible studies. Dear Lord, we lift up our pastor and his family. Strengthen them, dear Lord. And I also want to lift up those that are in assisted living and nursing homes. Lord, that you'll just bless them, dear Lord. As the aged go forward, dear Lord, that you just continue to bless them. Let them find that peace and comfort that only you can provide from that inner knowledge, from your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, being within each and every one of us. Lord, again, we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. Praise the Lord. I mentioned to Sister Julie as I was telling her the song the Lord laid on my heart. And it's the only one I could think of with this many prayer requests and this many needs. And it's Victory in Jesus. And that is the name we want to pray. I know I sing it a lot, but that is where my heart is. And in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Victory in Jesus, page 120. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I cleansing fire revealing how he made the lame to walk again and cause the blind to sing. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory. Of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Jesus. You may be seated if you can. Before we take up the offering, this is, you know, as you sing songs and I try to break them down and get the words, and a lot of times I get ahead of myself when I'm singing with y'all, and I apologize that. But you know, I was reading and listening to this again, and there's a place that in this, and I don't even see it right this second, but it says almost somehow, oh, there it is, in verse 2, it says, and somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. And the author of this song, and I really believe this in my heart, it's not that there was any doubt, but the doubt was in ourselves that we're worthy enough to get that victory. Because I've sung it many, many times, and it just says, and somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Because I think of myself, and what the Lord has done so many times, and He picked me back up and dusted me off and put me back on that path again. I'm the one that's not the Lord. And I just wanted to mention that to y'all as we sing these songs. There are certain things that I love about them that will kick out. And sometimes there'll be a whole other part that I hadn't even thought much about that the Lord will just show me as we're singing. Y'all see my smiles or you see me jumping around? You just know my mind's just rolling. I thank God for that. So we're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. Second. Just want to remember and want to thank all those who are involved and all the work that goes around our church and keeping things up and taking care of things and making sure that being here when the air conditioner man needs to come or when there's something to be fixed, and we just thank the Lord for that. Even the lights being changed and the batteries and those back in doing the technical stuff, back in the sound box and with the computers. We appreciate you so very much. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering?
Praise the Lord. Got any blessed people in here tonight? God. It's up to me which path I'm gonna take. We've only got one life to get it right. And even though I make mistakes, I'm perfect in His sight. When I deserve That's when he loves me most. Each time I drifted far away, he's always led me home. And when I turn my back on him, he's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when he loves me most. When I have temptation staring in the face, I should have turned my head and looked away. I went stumbling down that road a time or two, but each time I came limping back, you let me lean on you. When I deserve the least, that's when he loves me most. Each time I drifted far away, he's always led me home. And when I turn my back on him, he's always held out hope.
Sorry about that. Brother Tom, can you put some voices in here? I'm not getting very much.
I searched for the road that leads to glory. I wondered if I'd ever find the way. I sat down to rest, for my feet had grown so weary. But then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep walking, just keep walking. Walking in the light of the Lord, you'll get to heaven someday. Better get in the right way, walking in the light of the Lord. I prayed and I prayed for the Lord to give me mercy. I prayed for him to brighten up the day. I was so afraid, for the road now seemed so lonely. But then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep walking, just keep walking. Walking in the light of the Lord, you'll get to heaven someday. Better get in the right way, walking in the light of the Lord. I prayed and I prayed for the Lord to give me mercy. I prayed for him to brighten up the day. I was so afraid, for the road now seems so lonely. But then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep walking, just keep walking. Walking in the light of the Lord, you'll get to heaven someday. Better get in the right way, walking in the light of the Lord.
You know, while we were out on vacation, our anniversary, I saw a sign, and we went by it several times because Massanutten is kind of a small area, but there was a sign out there by a store, and I designed this shirt, and so I'm going to get one that also says what that said on it. This is my words. That will be theirs, but I like what it said. It says, get right or get left. Did you get that? Amen. All right. You know, I was thinking about the victory in Jesus. And I won't say how many years ago it was, but it was a night or two. And I give my heart to the Lord when the choir was singing that song. And I think about it every time we sing it. Every time. And I'm glad that I can say from him saving my soul that night. Have I always served him? Have I always been good? Have I always done what was right? No. I've let him down. I've failed him. But he was there. He picked me up. Why? Because I kept walking, right? Praise the Lord. But I'm glad that I can say tonight that I am a child of the King. Y'all worship the Lord. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion the King of all kings, in pity and love, he took me under his wings. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing, praise God, praise God. Oh, I'm a child of the King. With a heavenly home, why my holy Father has made me his own, and I'm washed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and one day I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King, for his royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing, praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King, for his royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, oh praise God, I'm a child of the King.
course. First, whatever it is, I don't know what that song is. Is that song? How many knows that Jesus is our everything? There was a secular song many, many years ago, and I don't know the artist, but many years ago we had an evangelist from Milstead. In fact, it was Brother Everhart's son-in-law. You remember his name? It evades me right now. But anyway, he put these words to that chorus, and I haven't sung in a long time. It's been on my heart, and I'm going to try it. I'm going to have to stay in the microphone. Okay. It goes something like this. Jesus, my reason for living. Jesus, the King of all kings. Jesus, my greatest possession. Jesus, my everything. Jesus, my reason for living. Jesus, you're the King of all kings. Jesus, my greatest possession. Oh, Jesus, my everything. The words are simple. Sing it with me. Jesus, my reason for living. Jesus, the King of all kings. Jesus, my greatest possession. Jesus, my everything. One more time. Jesus, my reason for living. Jesus, you're the King of all kings. Jesus, my greatest possession. Jesus, my everything. Truly He is my... Precious God, and what a mighty good God that we serve. Amen. He is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Well, thank God for a good, dry place. Amen. Not the case for some folks, as Brother Jim has already asked prayer for those, and I know that that's not in our neighborhood, but there's people there having to face those storms, and our thoughts and prayers go out to them tonight that God would, in fact, keep them safe. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to the book of St. Matthew. In the 6th chapter, often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Not to keep you standing long, but I wonder how many of us sometimes, how many people today be willing to travel miles walking or on the back of an animal to go to a mountain outside to hear a sermon that probably lasted all day long. I don't know if they would be that big a crowd or not. But here we found a multitude of people who came just to hear the voice of the Messiah. I know many came to be healed, many came to be delivered, but even after they were prayed for and delivered, they still were there and listening to every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So What a blessing that is to know that they were hungry enough to hear the word of the Lord. In the sixth chapter, we're going to begin with verse number 30 tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, or for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And we pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your precious word. God, we're thankful that we can refer to it. We're thankful that it's there. God, not only for a roadmap to salvation, but for direction for our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those who've gathered here tonight. And I pray, God, that you would just feed us. Feed us that heavenly manna, God, that we need to grow spiritually. Pray, God, that it would sink deep into our spirit. We'll be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we prayed already, but again, we want to reach out to those who are in need of prayer tonight. So many are sick, many are afflicted. We find some in the hospitals and the nursing homes, Lord, and also in the emergency rooms. Praying, God, that you would just reach out to each and every need tonight. Touch them, heal them, strengthen and anoint them, and we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. So good. Never want to take for granted the opportunity to come to the house of the Lord, amen, and get fed, amen, just the praise and worship, the testimonies, and just seeing you fine folks, amen, just kind of feeds my spirit. Just want to stay before we get into the night's lesson or message. Today, Sister Penny and I had an opportunity to meet one of the children of God. We got to meet an Israelite, amen, and we were out driving around looking at the countryside, and we stopped in some little stores and all, and we went in, and we noticed that the little shop was just full of mementos, of wood carvings of Christ, of hands praying, of crosses, and a multitude of different things. And then we came upon what was, in my way of describing, an immaculate piece of wood that was probably about the size of the communion table, and intricately cut and crafted the Lord's Supper. Now, some of the people here at the church will remember we got to go down to LaGrange one time and actually got to view the museum there, and we actually got to eat a meal there. And the way that they sit, and traditionally, is not they were sitting at a table like you see depicted on the paintings. Basically, in that day and hour, they would lay on their left side, arranged around the table, and they would eat because the digestive tract or something was better for that. If you remember, those of you that went, how that they taught us that. And well, this particular piece of carving, it showed that. And it showed, I mean, they looked just like the pictures in the painting, all except they were carved out of wood. And I was just awestruck by it. And of course, the guy got to talking, and we knew he had an accent. And come to find out, he was born in Israel, and he's been over here 10 years. And we just struck up a great conversation, you know. And Penny told him, she said, well, he's really, really interested in that. He said, well, it's for sale. I said, well, I didn't see a price on it. He said, well, it's still for sale if you want. He said, I won't sell you that one, but I can have one delivered to you for $17,000. And I said, well, let me think on that. No, I don't guess so. It was beautiful, and it was wonderful, but $17,000, and I know inflation has hit the wood carving business as well. But he had a lot of things, and we were really, really blessed and to be able to see that. And if you've never had an opportunity to read about the Last Supper and the way and the tradition, even so much so that even from the first to the last, there was a seating arrangement with the 12 disciples. They didn't just go up and take the first seat available. And that was not only true with Jesus and the 12, but even at the head of the house. He had a certain place to sit, and so on, and down at the end of the table would be the least servant or least whatever there was. But it's very intriguing if you ever get an opportunity to see that. But back to the lesson tonight, I want to talk about the kingdom
of God. How many has ever heard that term or that phrase, the kingdom of God? Kingdom of God. If you've ever heard me preach, you know that I refer to that particular scripture a lot, and in the set of that God will provide our needs. Do we have anybody here tonight that believes fully that God will provide our needs? If that's really the case, and myself included, if that's really the case, we should never ever worry about anything as far as God supplying our needs. Even if the cupboard gets low, even if the prices get high, even if the shelves get empty. How many has ever been frustrated when you went to the grocery store and they didn't have your brand? Who knows? God will provide somehow, some way. And this is what he was talking about here. But also, as I began to read and research that, Jesus was actually referring to something even greater than I think sometimes our minds kind of look over those things like that until we kind of dig deep into the reference of it and read the preceding verses and get the time and frame where Jesus was. First of all, I want to tell you that Jesus used the Sermon on the Mount as a teaching tool. He began to minister to people that were very probably unlearned, many of them, about Scripture. Many of them probably was not aware of what the kingdom of God was. Maybe they knew there was a heaven. Maybe they knew that there was a God. But maybe that was the extent of it. Maybe they did not know about the Messiah. Maybe they did not know about God's sovereign rule. So Jesus began to teach. And I like the way that Jesus does it. He didn't start off in the 12th grade. If I had started the school and they started teaching 12 grade subjects, I would have spent a long time in the first grade. But how many knows that they start off with the elementary and then you graduate and you go into further and deeper things? And how many knows that as we walk in Christ, we need to mature in Christ and we need to understand and know more about the kingdom of God, or sometimes referred to as the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God, which is also called and referred to as the kingdom of heaven in Christianity, is the spiritual realm over which God reigns as king and the fulfillment on earth of God's will. Basically, God's kingdom is more inclusive than heaven. Many times when we think about God's kingdom, we think about the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, and all the wonderful things are there. That's part of it, but his sovereign rule is the entire universe. Remember now that in the beginning, God spoke all of this into existence. So to limit him only to his heavenly kingdom is really limiting the power of God and the majesty and the greatness and the sovereignty of God. He's God and ruler over the entire universe. Now, that's too much for my little old mind to comprehend, because sometimes I get lost just in the state of Georgia. But imagine the universe. Imagine something even bigger than Earth, something even bigger than the realm that we understand. God is in sovereign rule of all of that. This phrase is used by Jesus frequently in the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke of the New Testament. The kingdom of God, in fact, is mentioned more than 80 times in the New Testament. It is not about nations, it is not about territory, nor is it governments. Because when we think about a kingdom, and in history when we had the kingdom, we had the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, and then the great wars of World War I and World War II, where they were trying to take over countries and nations, and they call that sometimes kingdom building and stuff like that. When we talk about that, we're only scratching the surface of God's kingdom, of the heavenly kingdom that he is referring to, that Jesus is talking about. In fact, one scholar kind of summed it up, and I know I've kind of spit out a little bit, but one scholar said, and this is what I like, because when you can reduce something down to where I can get it, you know, eloquent, long sentences, words like that's great, but sometimes you got to give me a while to digest that and discern it. But one scholar, after reading all that, said this: God's people, God's place, God's rule. That pretty much describes the sovereignty of God. God's place, God's people, God's rule. In other words, everything that we have belongs to God. Every place we step our feet belongs to God. Everything that we call our own is only on loan to us. So much so, and I know you've heard me say this, even the breath that we breathe, Brother Jim, it's not even our own. That's how great, and that's how majestic, and that's how immaculate God's sovereign kingdom is. So Jesus begins, before he gets into the kingdom, he begins to go and break it down on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount was some good preaching and good teaching, but it was an outline even before, I believe, that people were aware of outlines. Jesus had a step process. The very first thing that he teaches on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." This is the topic of do good and please God. Now, if you really want to get deep in God, you need to understand that, first of all, after salvation, you need to do good and please God. Not do good and please self, not do good and please others. Because I found out sometimes in trying to please others, we fail to please God. The most important thing a Christian can do outside of receiving the Spirit of the Lord and having their sins remitted by the blood of Jesus is to live a holy and righteous life and please God. How many knows we need to seek each and every day to please God? And please God, and the way we please God is ask Him to lead us and guide us and direct us. I need it every day. I'm not saying just because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't need direction. I need direction every day of my life. So Jesus starts with the elementary, and He begins to tell them, you know, before we build up to the kingdom of God, before we can describe to you the greatness, the majesty, the wonderfulness of the sovereignty of God's kingdom, we want you to understand and know that you've got to live a good life. Amen. That ought to be something that really shouldn't have to be reminded, but yet, many times we do have to remind ourselves. People are watching us. How many knows that? Sometimes you don't even know, or not even aware of it, but people are watching you, especially when you say, "I'm a born-again Christian." You know, they're not watching you as a testimony. They're watching you to see if you slip up. That's what they want to do. And you know what they do then? Well, I'm just as good or better than them. But Jesus said it's very, very important to do good and to please God. Don't do good and please yourself and pat yourself on the back and say, "What a good person I am." No, that's not humbleness, and that's not righteousness. That's self-righteousness, and that's not any good. But Jesus said, do good and please God. And then he goes into not only the need to pray, but how to pray. Now, some will take it a step further and think you got to say those exact words. I do really don't think that that's what Jesus was referring to, although it is a very good prayer. And if you can't find the words to pray anything else, you can certainly cover everything in the prayer that Jesus taught them how to pray. But he was teaching them a format of the way to pray. Maybe not necessarily word for word, but the things to cover when we pray. And what does he say? He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven." First of all, there's recognition. "Hallowed be thy name, holy and righteous, and forever thy name is settled." Give him praise. We've often said that. Why don't we start our prayers off with praise and worship and then end up with petitions and requests rather than start it off with petitions and requests? And somewhere, hopefully in there, we get some praise and worship too. But he says, "Thy kingdom come." Now, that's very important because he teases them, maybe not teases them, but kind of gives them just a little bit of where he's headed with this. He says, "Thy kingdom come." Not my kingdom come, not your kingdom come, but thy kingdom come. Listen to this phrase right here. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." I believe that we wouldn't get any contradiction whatsoever if we said God's will is forever done in heaven. It's heaven. It's where God is. There's holiness and righteousness and all that. But Jesus says that it be done in earth as it is in heaven. Because if God is the sovereign ruler of heaven, then he must be the sovereign ruler of earth as well. Oh, that the earth could understand that. Oh, that peoples and nations would turn to God. It'd be so much better place to live. It wouldn't be heaven, but it'd be a lot of better place to live. Amen. Neighbor treating neighbor right. And all of those things that come along with that. Give us this day, again, leading up, he's going to get into that in a little bit later. Not give us this month, or give us this year, or give us this decade, our daily needs, but give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. If we forgive others as God has forgiven us, there should not be any aught with any brother or sister, if we forgive others as the Lord has forgiven us. And lead us not into temptation. Boy, I need to pray that one every day of my life. Lead us not into temptation. Why? Because temptation is hard to overcome. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen to all of it. You know what you're saying when you're saying amen? That's right. That's what you're saying. Amen. Every word that he said was true. Yea and amen. So he's teaching not only to pray, but how to pray. There's a way that we need to pray. And then he covers how to fast, how that we need to do that, not to do it openly and braggartly or self-righteously, but do it in secret. Don't even let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, and do it unto the Lord, and not do it unto men to have a pat on the back. And then he talks about laying up treasures. Where does he say lay those treasures up? In the First National Bank? No, in heaven. Heaven. Lay up those treasures in heaven. Keep those treasures going in heaven, because that's where we're going to spend eternity. The treasures that are here are only temporary. They're going to be left behind. We won't have need of those in heaven. Amen? You won't have need of anything, because everything you're ever going to have need of is already prepared. Let me just kind of share this with some of us. You're not even going to have to pack a bag. Amen? We don't go anywhere today except we pack a bag, do we? We will make sure that we got something. Even if we don't need it, we want it. You don't have to worry about that. When that trumpet sounds or when that last breath leaves your body, you don't have to pack a bag. Everything you're ever going to have need of, it's already provided, amen? Everything for an eternity. My goodness, that's something to think about. My little old mind sometimes is just kind of almost blows a fuse when I begin to comprehend or try to comprehend the greatness of heaven. So lay up your treasures in heaven. And then he says the eye is what? It's the lamp or the light of the body. So be careful what you see and be careful how your life, you lead your life through that seeing of the eye. And then he mentions you can't serve God and riches, or you can't serve God and mammon, being wealth or riches. He didn't say you can't have riches. You know, there's some false doctrines going around that you can't serve God if you're wealthy. Oh, wait a minute. Some of God's greatest patriarchs in the Bible were very, very wealthy people. Job, if you read, Abraham, Solomon, David, all of those things. Riches won't send you to hell. The love of riches will keep you from serving God like you need to. If you put that above God, anything you put between you and God can be a sin to you. God needs to be first, and he gets into that in just a little bit. So you can't serve God in riches. And then finally, he ends up with basically these three words: do not worry. Turn to your neighbor and say, do not worry. Say it again. Say it like you mean it. All right, now, neighbor, you turn around and tell them the same thing. You told me not to worry. I'm telling you not to worry. Amen. And that's not Brother Eddie telling you not to worry. That's the Lord Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount. Don't you worry about these things. Don't I clothe the grass? Don't I do the trees? Don't I provide water and sunlight and all those things? And they're my creation. But how much more do I love you? And how much more am I able to provide for you? So he talks about all those things, and then he says in verse 33, but. What a powerful, my English class is long gone. What is that? A statement, but. Changes the things, doesn't it? Preposition? Is that what it is? That's a preposition. Praise God. That's a good word, ain't it? Preposition. How can a little old bitty three-letter word be a whole preposition? But that word changes an entire sentence. It changes an entire statement. Jesus says, all of these wonderful things I will provide for you. All of these wonderful things I will do for you. Treasures in heaven. I'll heal your body. I'll teach you how to pray. I'll show you how to fast. I'll tell you that you don't have to worry about things. But there's something that you have to do. Amen. That is, seek ye first. He didn't say seek ye only. What if he had said seek ye only? How difficult would that be? I'm confessing. Don't know if I could spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just seeking the kingdom of God. And so many times when we think about that, I'm getting in that heavenly vision of heaven. I'm seeking heaven. You know, that's part of it. That's a glorious, wonderful part of it. But if I read that correctly, God's sovereign rule is everywhere. And I have not adequately been able to grasp and comprehend the greatness of God. I mean, it is amazing to me that right now people all over this entire world are calling on the name of the Lord, and He's attentive to each and every request. It blows my mind to know that right now all of our minds could be on the Lord and the Lord could be speaking to every single one of us at the same time. That's a big load for me to understand. So that's the reason to seek, search, inquire. Look into, be hungry for the kingdom of God, the vastness of God, the greatness of God, the bigness of God. We say it all the time, we're talking about the storms. Don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell your storm how big God is. And yet, He's aware not only of the little sparrow that falls from the sky, but you and me. Every tear you've ever shed, every heartache you've ever had, every pain that you've ever suffered, the sovereign God that we serve is aware of that. And Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek His goodness. Seek His perfection. Seek His holiness. And His rightness, righteousness meaning righteous life or living right. Again, what was the first thing? Do good and please God. To help be able to seek and understand and know what the vastness of the kingdom of God is. And then He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. These things. What has He just talked about? He just spent an entire chapter on the things that are freely given to us, that He will provide for us. But He asks us in return. Really not ask. I see that more as a commandment or a request. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you something else about the kingdom of heaven. After the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, after Jesus Christ came, God robed in flesh, the reason being that there still had to be blood atonement. Can we agree on that? The Bible doesn't change that. Sin had to be remitted by blood. It became a stench in God's nostrils because so many goats and bullocks and rams were being offered up because the sin, and all that sin was rolled back. It wasn't atoned for. It was just rolled back until the special sacrificial lamb, which is the Son of God, came and willingly gave His life for my sin, your sin. He bled and He died on the cross of Calvary and He gave His life. So the kingdom of God now, in the vastness of God and the sovereignty of God, not only does He King of heaven, not only is He King of the universe, but because of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, He's King in this domain as well. So if we can grasp somehow the sovereignty of God, the greatness of God, and understand the vastness of His power and His rulership, we know that this is part of the kingdom of God. And reality, isn't that what He wants anyway? Jesus refers in the New Testament, and the Scriptures refer to this is the temple of God. You know, contrary to popular belief, when Jesus comes, He's not going to resurrect the church building. Although some people even had that idea that that's what he meant when he's coming back for the church. That's not what he's talking about. Is he sovereign over this church? Sure he is. The wood that was built, made it, he's sovereign over everything. This is the kingdom of God. But this is what he loves so much. He didn't die for this structure. He didn't die for the nation. He died for the people. The most precious creation that he has. We know that for the, how much he loved. John 3:16. So loved the world. That's where he wants to take up his domain. That's where he wants to live. So when Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, this is what he wants us to do. He wants us to make sure that the Spirit of God is alive and well in this vessel. Because the way I read it, this vessel is not going to make it to heaven. The soul, the spirit of man is what's going to be resurrected or what's going to be transformed or in the twinkling of an eye to be a part of that heavenly kingdom that the Lord has already provided a place. Do you realize it's already prepared for you? Just waiting on us. What a big God. What a great God. And what a loving God to give us all of this. He said, just seek first the kingdom of God. All these things be added to you. The way I read that, anything that I need, God will provide. As long as I keep him first. Amen. Got to be first. Didn't say just keep me in there anywhere, did he? He didn't say, you know, there's a big thing today. Just want to be in the top 10. No, that don't work either. Don't work either. And second place is not good either. It's not. You know, really, God doesn't ask a whole lot from us if you think about it. Not like the Ten Commandments were and the laws, the statutes, and the precepts of the Old Testament were. Imagine trying to live a holy and righteous life then without the Spirit of God. That's really, really tough labor to do. Are you thankful to Jesus? No, you love him with all your heart. Amen. When we pray, let's think about the kingdom of God. Let's think about the most important thing in our life is the kingdom of God. The greatest thing that we can have in our life is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate each and every one of you. If you would stand tonight, I know we prayed and I know we've asked requests for many people. And you know, when we pray and we have prayer requests, don't just pray for them just when we're at church, and continue to pray for them in your personal prayer time as well, and God will bless you. But if you have a need tonight, if you'd come forward.
All it done is. Thank you. I believe God will.
Thank you.